Well, welcome, everyone. We're happy to know that you are listening in today. I hope you are. And we have some people here in the classroom with me. And I'm Doris, and this is...
Hi, I'm Hazel.
And I'm Lois.
And so welcome, everybody, to come in. Let's give them a big hand.
Yay! Glad to be
everybody.
Here.
Hey, you all seem pretty happy today because we're going to tell some secrets today, aren't we, Hazel?
Yes, secrets to a long life.
Oh, boy. You know, most people want to have a long life if it's a good life, don't they?
I think they do, especially if they have health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the main thing. We have to find out the secrets of that. And our lesson is on page 38, if you have your magazines, or if you're just listening in. We're going to talk about things that might help you have a better life. And we have the QR code. You can do the topic talks, too, on this, can't you?
Yes, you can. And I'm glad our readers are able to join us today.
Well, you know, it's a good thing that I'm teaching this lesson because I think I have the longest life of any of you in this room. Isn't that true?
And oh, yes, you do.
Not only a long life, but you're very, very active. You're probably more active than most of us in this room.
Well, you know, we're going to find out if anything helps us, you know, have a good life. And it says, could diligence and coffee. Now, those are two different things. Could they be a couple of keys?
Yes, that's how our deck is today. And we're going to talk about more the diligence in our first two, I guess our first 2 days. And the last day, we'll talk about the coffee or your
right.
Java, whatever you want to call it, getting to the coffee shop or the cafe or whatever.
Well, that's true. Actually, the article on coffee was kind of a separate article, but we just tacked it on to mm-hmm. this one because it has something to do with it. But this article is mostly about diligence. And what is diligence?
Diligence is paying attention to what you're doing, doing a good job, working hard at it.
Okay. And if you're diligent, that means, in a way, you're faithful to what you're doing. You don't give up on it. And, you know, you just keep on.
Right. You're focused on it. You want to get it done. So sometimes I think of some mundane chores you might have to do that actually, believe it or not, take diligence for you to finish them and not walk away from them.
That's true. And there's a book called The Longevity Project. Now, sometimes we do these kind of book reviews because a lot of people don't take time to read books anymore. But it's good to have a book review, isn't it?
It sure is. I'm a person that still really enjoys reading books, and I like to read books that I get some knowledge from, and I also like some novels. And, you know, it's interesting. We were doing this studying for this, The Secrets to a Long Life and The Longevity Project, the name of the book, and I recently saw this book in a bookstore.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was like, oh, I've seen that book. And now we're going to discuss it on radio.
We're talking about it. Well, longevity, long means a long time. So longevity is a good word to keep in mind as we study this.
Right, something that just goes on and on for a very long time. And we often think of the longevity of life. How long will you live?
Right. Yeah, you get to live a long time. Mm-hmm. Some of us.
That's true, and we're going to find out more about it. And the person that wrote this book, there's co-authors. That means there's two of them. What are their names?
Right. We have Howard S. Friedman,
uh-huh.
And we also have, I'm just trying to see,
Leslie.
And is her middle initial Leslie R. Martin, and they both have PhDs. They're
right.
Both doctors of psychology.
Okay. Now, Leslie can be the name of a male or female,
right? Yes, it could
yes.
be,
okay,
right.
So
yeah.
I'm not sure which that is.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to ask them. They evidently they're experts because they're psychologists or something like that. But PhDs, it just means you've studied a lot of things. I got 4 PhDs, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, you have to study stuff, too. And then you get a PhD. But that just means you've studied stuff.
A doctor of philosophy.
Exactly. Right? Doctor of philosophy,
yeah.
Correct.
Okay, so let's read the first column on page 38 because it says that everybody wants a long, healthy, happy life. Do you agree?
I agree, yes, sure.
Okay, let's read about it.
Secrets to a long life. Could diligence and coffee be a couple of the keys? Ask the expert, Howard S. Friedman, co-author of The Longevity Project. Everybody wants a long, healthy, and happy life. But what's the secret? Common knowledge, says don't stress, be happy, exercise regularly, and maybe even get married. But what does science say? In 1921, Stanford University psychologist Lewis Terman began a study where he tracked the lives of 1,500 Americans from childhood to death. Now, there is a book called The Longevity Project, where Howard S. Friedman and Leslie Martin, researchers and psychology professors, establish what it is about these 1,500 individuals that led some to stay well, and others to fall ill or die early. It was especially fascinating to understand that health was not random, and that those individuals who became involved with others in a consequential life were improving their own health and longevity as an unanticipated bonus, Friedman says. The Longevity Project shows why many people became both happy and healthy by living a good, dedicated, involved life.
Well, we're talking about here that you want a long life, but you do want to be healthy. I think people who have illnesses and they can't move around and they can't do anything, they don't really want a long life, do they?
No, if they're really suffering and in pain, I don't think that's their goal. Their goal is probably to get well again and feel better, to live a long life.
Right, and healthy and happy is important.
Right, those words go well together, be healthy and be happy. And, of course, there's a lot of misery in the world, so happiness is a real blessing. So if you can live a healthy and happy life, you would probably want it to be a long life.
But how? See, what's the secret? Is it really a secret? There's a lot of articles these days, and that's common knowledge. Everybody knows, they say, don't have too much stress. What is stress?
Stress is, another word is anxiety or
pressure.
Worry or mm-hmm. pressure.
Right.
You just don't feel relaxed because there's something on your mind that you're troubled with.
So don't we have a lot of articles that tell how to get rid of stress and things like that?
Yeah, and you know, this has been, last few years have been stressful years on this earth. And for a lot of people, no matter what country you live in, and also, I know for me, I'm a baby boomer. I have aging parents and an aging father-in-law. So that brings stress, too, because mm-hmm. even though I'm working and have a job and everything, you still have your concerns for your parents, mm-hmm. and you have your responsibilities as well.
But you don't want to get stressed out about it, see? So mm-hmm. to figure out how to handle stress, of course, and being happy means being more positive and, you know, exercising. And sometimes people say, well, if you're not married, you won't be happy. And I'm still happy, though. But it doesn't matter. But, you know, what does science say? What do these people say? That's what we're going to say. What did the scientists say?
Well, they wanted to find out scientifically about this. So way back in 1921, Stanford University psychologist Lewis Terman began a study where he tracked the lives of many, many Americans, 1,500 Americans, from childhood until they died.
Well, that's a lot of people to figure out what they did.
Right, and I was saying this before we went on the program, I can hardly believe that started in 1921.
I know.
We're at the beginning of 2018, so that's almost 100 years ago that this study started.
That's before even I was born.
Yeah, okay. So it is quite shocking that this study has gone so long.
That's true.
And when you think about it, this man that started this study, if he's going to track these children from, you know, childhood until death, you know that he won't live until the end of the study, right?
That's true.
So he has to pass it off.
He has to pass it on to someone else.
And so this project is called the Long Life or the Longevity Project. Now, this is where these people are going back to do the research on. This is Howard Friedman that we talked about and Leslie Martin. So they are researchers, and they are both psychology professors. And so they're trying to find out about this study and what they learned from that.
Right. Why did some people stay well and live a long time, and why did others fall ill or die early? So that's what they're trying to find out from all this research that's been done.
It's kind of hard to find out for sure and really to know.
Yeah, I think it, you know, you have your research and you look at your research and you have, of course, you have to come to some conclusions on your research. But, you know, sometimes we don't know definitely in 1921, they wouldn't have known everybody's background, like their hereditary background,
right?
Because medical records
weren't... Not so scientific.
Right, and medical records weren't kept that well. Mm-hmm. It's only been in the last 50 years that medical records have been kept a lot better in Western countries, and now they're starting to be kept a lot better all over the world.
Well, that's true, but you take this paragraph you're starting in line 15 that was written, this is what Friedman says, and it certainly sounds like a psychologist to me. What he says here, it's fascinating to understand that health was not random. Now, what does he mean by that? Health was not random.
It's not really by chance, he thinks.
There's other things involved.
Exactly.
Huh?
There's other things involved.
It didn't just happen.
It's kind
huh?
of scientific. Mm-hmm. At least that's what he's trying to show.
Well, and he said those individuals' life, it says that they became involved with others in what they call the consequential life. What on earth does that mean?
Right. So they're talking about with others in a consequential life. They're trying to find out the significance of their life. What was significant that happened? And so they're studying the life and what were they doing to improve their own health and longevity as an anticipated bonus.
That's kind of complicated.
Right. So if you do significant things in your life, because maybe in the last, let's say, 30 years, we have found out a lot of things that we can actually have control of what we eat, what we drink,
exercise,
how much sleep we get. And then if we're trying to work on our own health,
right,
hopefully we're improving our health and we're not sabotaging it. And then we get a bonus of maybe now we're going to live
five more years. If you don't smoke, you'll live longer. And that sort of thing.
And I think it's also saying that those that became involved with other people, in relationships, it seems like their health is improving. That's a consequence of being involved with other people.
Right. Well, yeah, and we noticed that in the last sentence here of the first column, it says, the Longevity Project shows why many people became both happy and healthy by living a good, dedicated, involved life. Involved life means you are involved with other people.
You don't just sit home and watch TV.
No, or you just don't isolate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You think about people, some people you know, either friends or relatives, that actually do isolate themselves. And they always seem like something's wrong with them,
mm-hmm.
or they seem so sad, or they don't
depressed.
Have any...
Depressed.
Yeah, they don't have any friends in their peer group. And you
you're making me feel bad now.
They kind of you just go, wow.
Right.
You're not making a very good life for yourself.
Right. Now, those people maybe eat vegetables and exercise and everything, but that's not enough, see? Right.
No, I think when you're concerned about other people and involved, it gives you a motive, something to live for.
So they're finding it's not just doing these things like not eating this or doing that. There's other things that give you like a bonus, and that's
right.
being involved.
Right. You know, I can remember, just going to give a little example here. When I used to go visit my grandmother at a senior citizen's home, I would also, you know, give time to my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
But I also noticed that the people in the senior citizen's home mm-hmm. wanted to gather around me because I was getting involved in their life. And, you know, I could see that they were happier, and it felt like they were getting some joy.
Right, they didn't just sit there and watch you, but
exactly.
they wanted to talk to
they
you.
They wanted to talk. They wanted to be involved. They wanted to say, Isabel, when's your granddaughter coming to visit again? So, you know, involvement in people's lives, even a little bit, folks, can really help.
Well, Lois is that friendly type, don't you? I can imagine her talking to them.
That's
you, Lois?
Right.
And, you know, Hazel likes to go to some of those homes, and she does little kind of, what do you call it, magic
well,
tricks.
Well, I used to take the dog to
yeah.
visit the
well, people
older
still
patients.
Take animals. Yeah,
yeah that's
so,
great.
But you help get people involved, not just
right.
sit there and not do
it
anything.
It helps them, and it helps you because you also get to know the other people that take their dogs and visit. And so
oh, that's
important.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine people just sitting there all day with nothing to do, because that won't happen to me.
No, you can't do that. No. It does make you unhealthy.
Right.
Keep active, keep going, and get involved with other people.
So this longevity project is finding out how to have a long, happy life. And Friedman discusses what he calls the secrets that he and the one who helped him write the book, his co-author, that's what they discovered. Let's read the second column.
Friedman discusses the secrets he and his co-author discovered. Question. The 1,500 people studied for the book were tracked decades ago. How are their health problems still relevant today? Answer. In the research, we focused on things that are distributed similarly to the general population today, such as personality traits, key social variables like marriage and divorce, and career and work variables. The results hold up well and are very relevant. Question. In the book, one of the things you discussed to keep people healthy is stress. How is stressing and worrying healthy? Answer. Our results clearly showed that those who were highly motivated, worked the hardest, steadily advanced in their careers, and achieved the most career success lived the longest. They didn't work themselves to death. They worked themselves to life. Ambition was not a problem, and taking it easy was not healthy. In fact, those who were carefree, undependable, and unambitious in childhood, and who were unsuccessful in their careers, had a whopping increase in their mortality risk.
So now we're going to find out the secrets, Hazel.
Well, I hope so.
They tracked all these people, 1,500, and that was decades ago. So how does that make any difference today? That word relevant is a very good thing. Is it relevant for people that lived in the 1920s to talk about what made their life good? Is there anything similar to what makes our life good now? Is there anything the same?
Well, I think the writers certainly think so, and I think there are a lot of things that we can learn from this
study. Our lifestyle is very different.
Our lifestyle is very different, and so perhaps not all of it is relevant, but a lot of it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing is the study wasn't just done in 1921. It kept going and going and moving along all these decades.
Right, that's true.
And let's face it, we look back, we look at today, we look forward. I think we can learn something from all of that, from the past, the present, and the future.
Well, that was a good question, right?
Right, yeah. And in fact, it seems like when you read the answer, it seems like the research focused on the things that are similar to today. So in that sense, it certainly would be relevant.
Right. Okay, let's look at them. I numbered them. Number one is a personality trait. That's in line 7, 6. And it says, personality traits. Now, people who are usually happy and more positive seem to live longer than people who are negative, somehow. That's a personality trait.
That's true, and
I've heard
that.
Not the relatives
that.
I know.
Oh, really?
Sorry to say.
Oh, your relatives don't have a positive personality?
Well, the ones that get to live a long time don't seem to.
Uh-oh.
But I find that, that people that are cheerful, they usually have better health. It seems like it.
I think that's generally true. So personality is one of the traits that's important.
That's number one, yeah. And then there are these other things that they call social variables. Mm-hmm. Variable is just something that's they're not all the same thing.
Yeah, this is good they mention this.
In the sense of marriage and divorce, now, how would that make a difference?
Well, we're going to find out later what the difference is, but so some people are married and some people are single, and some people have been married and are divorced now. So all those are variables. And they're tracking those because those are still relevant today. Some people single, some married, some divorced.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that they say is that one thing people have to realize that they think if they're not married, they're not happy. And some people are married and they're not happy. So you have to learn is that whether you're married or not married, your happiness doesn't depend on somebody else. It depends on you. And you are the one that has to be happy or not happy and help the other person, but you're not dependent on it.
And I think from my experience from marriage, and I've been married over 33 years, one of the things you can do in marriage that will bring you a lot more happiness is try to get rid of the conflict. Remember, you're a team. Remember, you're joined.
Look at the good things.
And work together at it. And oftentimes, if you're not like pulling, you know, apart,
you're always this way. You're always
it's not helping your marriage. So try to work together and be this great team.
That's true. Yeah. Well, and then your career and work variables. Sometimes it has to do with the kind of job you have, doesn't it?
That's right. And we'll learn later about stress and about success and how that factors into the results of this study.
So they found out that these kind of things were the kind of the same in the 20s and 30s and 40s and so forth, because the results hold up well. And they're very relevant. The things that happened then, what made my grandmother happy and made me happy, might be sort of the same, even though we lived in different times.
Yes. I would think that a lot of things that probably in the 1920s, those were good years. We had, you know, the world hadn't hit the Depression yet.
Right.
Maybe the security, maybe the fact that they had... people were comfortable, certainly more comfortable than they were in the 1930s or the war years.
Mm-hmm.
People probably had a sense of security.
And World War One was over.
World War One was over. It had ended in 1918, so that was over. And I would think when this study, you know, Stanford University started this study, I'm thinking they were kind of the glory years of that first half of the 20th century.
Yeah. Well, the question came up here, though, on line 10. It says in the book that one of the things they talked about in the book, the question was, is to keep people healthy. Stress is involved. So how is stress and worrying healthy? I thought it was unhealthy. Yeah.
You know, this says it's healthy, and I'm not sure. But anyway, let's
Well, they have to have a little stress or you won't get up in the morning, right?
That's probably true.
Yeah, but you don't want too much stress.
I would say... challenge might be
that's a better word for me.
Worrying and stress may not be
they're
the
not
best,
very good
but
that's
this
true.
Article says it is. I would say perhaps challenges, things to do,
right?
Maybe even difficulties, but stressing over those difficulties and worrying about those difficulties doesn't really help you get them done.
Well, and those people that are very highly motivated, they want to do something, they work very hard.
Right.
And those kind of people who really feel there's something worth doing in the world, those people achieve the most, didn't they?
Yeah, I get, and you know, how do you measure this, right? Some people will have the ability to achieve great things in the world. Maybe they already started with a family with money or something, okay? So they can be a philanthropist, right? But then you have people that might just do great things in their family, which helps the neighborhood or their local church or whatever. So it's hard to really measure human against human, I find, because everybody's world is different.
Well, and it says down here in line 16, all says they didn't work themselves to death. They worked themselves to life. Now we say, don't work yourself to death. We kind of hear people, oh, you're working too hard. But if you work and you don't have a lot of stress and you enjoy it, then you're working yourself to life. If you retire too soon and have nothing to do, then you just kind of deteriorate more.
Well, yeah, and you know, work can sometimes be the best therapy. You know, I think some people forget that.
And I think some people don't think of
purposes
work as
work.
As stress and worry.
That's
they
true.
Like it and they enjoy it. So I certainly agree with this, that people that are motivated, they work hard, they enjoy their careers, and live a longer life.
So they were ambitious. And that was the problem.
More,
see? And taking it easy, in a sense, was not healthy because of that. In fact, those people were those who were carefree and they didn't worry, undependable and unambitious in childhood, and they were unsuccessful in their careers, they probably wouldn't quite live as long.
It's about a mortality risk. And we have that in our vocabulary focus. So mortality means the number of deaths within a particular society and within a particular period of time. So I think it's no matter, you know, where your life stage is, you have to have things that do make you be dependable, or there's some type of ambition in your life or something. Right. You know, I know couples that have retired, but now they're doing all kinds of volunteer work.
They're not doing the same thing,
exactly,
but they're still working.
And I know somebody else who's retired, and they grow a vegetable garden and give all the vegetables and fruit away. Well, that's a wonderful use of your time.
And some people that have retired just sit around and say, I don't know what I'm going to do today, what TV show is on.
That would not be good. That would not be good.
Okay, well, we're going to find out what develops these kind of traits, and it has to do a lot with childhood, and we're going to find more about it. It's an interesting subject, so be sure you come back tomorrow when we talk more about these secrets of what is going to keep you well and happy and live as long as you can, live a good life. So be sure and be back tomorrow as we discuss these again. Thanks for being with us today, everyone.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.